This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There was a bit of a stir recently when Elle magazine came out with its annual Women in Hollywood issues. Four covers shot with four different stars: Reese Witherspoon, Shailene Woodley, Penelope Cruz, and Melissa McCarthy. Witherspoon wore a fitted black dress. Woodley wore a swimsuit. Penelope Cruz recently gave birth to her second baby, so hers was a close-up face shot. And curvy, full-figured Melissa McCarthy was swathed and bundled up in a big coat. Now, that led to criticism. It was because she's full-figured. Although it should be noted, Melissa McCarthy herself said she liked the cover and she was glad to be a part of the whole thing. But it does raise the issue of society's attitudes towards overweight, obese people. 35% of the population of Michigan is considered to be overweight. So this is an issue affecting many in our state. Is there a bias towards fat people that would not be tolerated elsewhere? Well, joining me for the conversation is Amanda Levitt. She writes the blog Fat Body Politics. Currently, she's a grad student at Wayne State University and a fat activist, and she joins us in the studio. So good to meet you and have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what were your thoughts with all of the conversation about that Elle cover shot of Melissa McCarthy?
It's not abnormal. I mean, photoshopping happens in every
single... Well, this
single...
wasn't even photoshopping. Yeah, no, it wasn't. This was like, put her in a big coat. We see this gorgeous face, and
yeah.
But we don't see her.
Well, no. And I mean, what I want to say was photoshopping happens regardless of the body size. But when you look at Melissa McCarthy, mm-hmm. you don't see her body at all. We have very similar body types, and if I was in that coat, you would still be able to tell that I was fat. Like, you can't hide that. And so I think that that's the part that clearly either they think that she is far bigger than she actually is, and so they bought a coat that was four times too big, or the entire idea was to disassociate herself from her body.
Well, let's talk about attitudes, and I'll just talk about Melissa McCarthy for another moment or two. Film critic Rex Reed, when he reviewed her work for the movie Identity Theft, he described her, and I'll quote now, a hippo, tractor-sized, and he called her, and again, this is my quote, I'm quoting Rex Reed, a gimmick comedian who has devoted her short career to being obese and obnoxious with equal success. Does that kind of language pretty much sum up what you're fighting back against as a fat activist?
Yeah, I mean, and I think, too, Melissa McCarthy specifically is very unapologetic about her body. Yeah, I mean, there's so much about being in the spotlight where you are taking up space and you are using your body. I mean, she uses physical humor. And so that's so incredibly revolutionary because we don't have fat women that are on TV that are doing that.
Roseanne Barr.
We
kind of a trailblazer.
Yeah, we did. There was a very huge break between Roseanne Barr and Melissa McCarthy. I mean, I remember when she was on SNL and she was doing the skit where she was like falling down. And it was just the fact that you had to look at her body. You can't look anywhere else. You can't just look at her head. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that, where she is doing something that's so much physical humor, where you're consistently having to look at her body, and then you see the cover of Elle, where all you see is her face, and it's only half of her face, and you could totally tell that they photoshopped her face too, and then they're covering and hiding her. It's a total disassociation from anything else that she normally does. And so it's like, in her film work or on TV, she's a completely different person than when you see her in print work, and it's that is something that we definitely have to fight back against.
Amanda, where do you find that this attitude, this bias against fat people comes from? And does some of that negative attitude stem from advice from the medical world about the health effects of obesity and what a harmful condition it can be? Does some of that then trickle into fat equals bad?
I think that it's multidimensional. I think that first and foremost, yes, the way that we assume that fat people are inherently diseased is incredibly harmful. There is a lot of research that shows that it has far more to do with behaviors than body size. That if you look that even health within itself is not just about body size, that it includes your socioeconomic status. It includes, do you have access to fresh fruits and vegetables? Do you have access to places to move your body? Do you have access to preventive medicine? Also dealing with stigma. I mean, fat people deal with stigma, so do people of color, so do women, as well as people in the LGBT community. Also, when we talk about discrimination, we see that the people that are most likely to be discriminated against are women of color, poor people. So that means that women, they're less likely to be hired, they're less likely to be promoted, they're more likely to face discrimination in person, in interpersonal relationships. And that's where it's not just about medicine, that it also goes into issues of feminism, of gender. There's definitely an extreme amount of gendered discrimination that has so much to do with just women in general and embodiment and what it means to be feminine and what it means to be female that does really go into discrimination as well, that it's not just about the health portion of it, although that part definitely impacts how fat women specifically are able to engage in body positivity, because we're constantly told that you can be body positive but you can't be fat, you know.
And so what's the key to being a fat woman, a fat person who is body positive?
For me, I'm very disassociated from negative body image culture, very, very disassociated from media that has to portray bodies in a specific way. I try to disassociate myself from people that are negative. That means not talking to people or engaging in diet culture, engaging in moralizing of food, because for me and a lot of fat activists, we talk about a health system. It's called Health at Every Size. And one of the main proponents for me was learning that food is food. It's okay to enjoy it. It's okay to eat food, like, in, you know, and it doesn't mean that I'm constantly eating cupcakes, but if I want to have a cupcake, that's okay, you know. And so, and it's also not berating myself if I have a cupcake, you know. So it's kind of removing all of the kind of feelings that we have about food.
What about fat politics? What does that look like in Michigan? What kind of activities are happening and what kind of activism is happening?
I do a lot of work within fat studies, which is kind of a growing movement that's very, very similar and is following the lead of like women's studies or African-American studies. We have a lot of fat studies scholars throughout the states at U of M, MSU. I'm at Wayne State, obviously. We also have, I know MSU has Body Peace Corps, which is a student-run organization, which is super awesome. I know that they do like a body monologue every year. It's kind of like the vagina monologues, but instead it's people coming and talking about their body. I was running a nonprofit for a while, but because I'm in grad school, it just wasn't feasible anymore. But a lot of it is also online and engaging with people in other places. I talk to people from Australia, from New Zealand, to, you know, East Coast, West Coast, all over the country, all over the world about body politics, because it is, yes, it is very a Western idea, and is very, very focused on the U.S., but there are people all over the place that I engage with on Tumblr and Twitter that I talk to about this stuff.
What's your hope for the fat activist movement? Where do you hope that we will be as a society when we look at fat people in just, let's say, 5 years?
I really hope that we start listening to fat studies scholars, but also critically thinking about the way that we talk about bodies in society and also who we listen to. You know, with the American Medical Association defining fat or obesity as a disease, but when they did that, they went against a lot of research and the entire council that they had to decide whether they should do that or not. And I really, really, really would love to disassociate the corporate interests and the diet industry away from what we actually should be talking about, which is systemic issues, which is about equality and not just about health.
Amanda Levitt, she writes the blog Fat Body Politics and part of the fat activist movement in Michigan. Thanks for talking with us. She was kind enough to join us in the studio.
Thank you.